All right, Tiger fans, welcome back to Talking Tigers. This is a Win or Die Sports production. I'm your host, Wesley Burris, and my co-host and partner in crime, Taylor Griggs, is along for the ride tonight, too. A little impromptu show just to fill the gap before next week when we get into previewing the Tigers' opening game against Furman in Death Valley. And what we want to do this week is list off the key Tigers and maybe the keys to success in general for this football season, kind of go over the schedule a little bit later in the episode. But first, kind of throw it out there that Dabo Swinney and all you guys know that are listening to this, he's done a great job here with Clemson. He's got them in an enviable position in college football for almost everyone, and they're at the top of the pecking order, especially in the ACC. They're a national threat, it seems like, every year now. And this season there are a few question marks, not very many, but I will address them because I think, you know, we're going to talk about the key Tigers, and I think I have some areas where I would say if there are questions about what the Tigers can do or will do, here's where they are. So getting right into it, I think if you're going to talk about the Clemson's offense has been very prolific the past few years. Goes all the way back to the Chad Morris days, really before that, honestly, with some big-time skill players. But, you know, he set the groundwork here, and as all of you know, big-time offense. And then the defense came along, and the defense is sort of the poster child for the program now in terms of this is how you've taken that next step. You've gone from being a two or three loss team to now a one loss team that's in the playoffs or an undefeated team that makes a playoff run and got a national championship out of it. And that's got to be very good for Tiger fans. And the quarterback position is the key to all that. You've had some greats, Taj Boyd, and then transitioned into the great Deshaun Watson, who's taken his talents to Sundays and was absolutely great last year in the few games that we got to see him in. He came out and didn't kind of started a little slow, didn't do as much as what I think some people may have expected, but more than I expected. And then in the next few weeks, man, he just lit it up. So he left behind. The cupboard wasn't bare. Kelly Bryant is a good quarterback. But I know some Tiger fans are kind of always – when you have a really good team and your quarterback's okay – you know, or your quarterback, I say okay. I misphrase that. When your quarterback is good, but he's not as great as the last guy, you're always questioning who's the next guy. The backup quarterback's always the most popular guy in town. Not in Columbia, he's not. But in Death Valley, the backup quarterback definitely will be, especially if Kelly Bryant goes out there and has some missteps early because, you know, they just have so much talent behind him. Trevor Lawrence is one of the top recruits, if not the top recruit in the entire recruiting class last year. I can't remember where he actually finished, but it was top 1-3 somewhere, whatever. And he's just a freak athlete, a big arm. This is what everybody in Death Valley is interested to see what he can do once he gets out there and plays, and nobody is questioning his ability. So I think everybody knows at some point he's going to see the field. How often, we don't know yet, and that's something to look forward. There were some people last year that were calling for Hunter Johnson. You know, you've got guys like Chase Bryce who could possibly get in the mix if you have injuries. But, you know, sticking with Bryant and Trevor Lawrence, who are going to probably be they are going to be the 1-2 guys here. Kelly Bryant had 2,802 passing yards last year. He threw 13 touchdowns, which is very low for a Tiger quarterback the last few years. And he only threw 8 interceptions, but some people think that was too many. He did have a costly turnover here or there, but he added 665 yards rushing. He had 3.5 yards per carry and 11 touchdowns on the ground. So I think Trevor Lawrence brings about some positivity. You know that you have a winner in Kelly Bryant, but you also know you have a stud behind him. And Hunter Johnson was highly, highly recruited as well behind him. So Clemson has just amassed a wealth of talent at the quarterback position. But quarterback position in general, I have marked here is the key to success for the Tigers, because the trigger man in this offense has to do so many things. With the RPOs, the misdirection, fake jet sweeps and whatnot that the Tigers offense always runs, the quarterback has to be aware of what's down the field, read off the safeties. Big plays can abound More importantly, maybe even than the quarterback position, I think in Clemson's offense, or just as important, is the running back position, because this is still a run-based offense. They will sling the rock around a lot, as Taj Boyd did, as Deshaun Watson did. But those plays are set up by the fact that you've just always got this run game and this misdirection game going for you. And I think running back is maybe even more important to Clemson this year, because I think people know that Bryant think that Bryant isn't as talented as Deshaun was before, and that they can scheme against him. Maybe Lawrence is young and they can scheme against him and they could bring pressure. I think Clemson has two big home run threats in the backfield, two big-time running backs, not numbers that yards-wise that really stand out at you, but there are some numbers here that are just very, very frightening if you're not a Tiger. Travis Etienne had 776 rushing yards last year, but 7.2 a carry, and he had 13 touchdowns on the ground. So he was just a beast, can score anytime he touches the football. He's in that mold. And just very, very dangerous. Tavion Feaster, another five-star running back, 669 yards last year, 6.3 a carry. He had 7 touchdowns on the ground. Now, you got Darian Rencher and Adam Choice back there, who could see playing time because running backs sometimes get banged up. But I think Clemson's got a healthy 1-2 punch at the top of this lineup here. You could see some of these guys go out in the slot. You could see some of these guys definitely get involved in the passing game. But I do think the reason why you could see other people maybe see the field is because they do need some young wide receivers to step up. They lost some big-time guys last season, and I think that's a big deal. Deion Kane is gone, 734 yards, 12.7 a catch, and 6 touchdowns. And Ray-Ray McCloud, just a playmaker, 503 yards and 10 yards per touch. Those guys are missing, and they need some guys like Amari Rodgers to step up. He had 19 catches last year for 123 yards, 6.5 a catch. T. Higgins is a guy who looked very, very good at times, 17 catches, 345 yards. 20.3 was his average catch. That's big-time home run threat. 2 touchdowns for him. Hunter Renfro, probably the most steady of all the guys coming back, 60 catches, which was a bunch, 602 yards, and receiving 10 yards per catch, and he had 3 touchdowns. And he's a player that a lot of the Tiger fans really, really like, because he seems to do the right things, and he makes blocks, and he's in the right position, and he's a sure-handed wide receiver. Somebody that Kelly Bryant has really leaned on in the last season, so I assume that'll be the same going forward. Now, a guy that I do want to mention, Justin Ross, he's a big guy, big-time recruit, huge potential here, lots of upside, had the badass catch that went viral one-handed, just an awesome catch in practice. I think he's a guy that's going to step in. And that's why I say this is a key to the Tigers. They need the wide receivers to step up in a big way to open up this ground game. And the ground game could open up plays for them. That's kind of what I'm saying. The running back position, I think, is very solid and very important and set in at Clemson. I think the quarterback is as well. Wide receivers do need to step up, but I do think that there's so much talent on this offensive line and so much talent at the other skill positions, quarterback and running back, that wide receivers will grow into the season. You're going to see big-time production out of them. Clemson always has good tight ends. This is something that's going to continue. They have recruited so well in the last few seasons that I don't see any drop-off really at all. If anything, I think this offense is going to be better. I don't think there's any way it's going to be worse. I think it's going to be better this year. That spells danger for everybody in the Atlantic Division. That spells danger for everybody that wants to challenge them in the ACC Championship game. Anybody that plays them non-conference, I'm talking to you, Texas A&M, and Gamecock fans. This is a dangerous, potent football team. I've predicted it already. We'll get into that a little bit later in the episode. This is a playoff team in my mind, barring some crazy nonsense. I think it would take probably 3 losses to knock them out of contention for a playoff, because I think that they could lose 2 games and still possibly win the ACC, and when all is said and done, maybe backdoor their way into a playoff game. I mean, crazier stuff has happened, but I don't see this team losing 2 games unless something wild happens and we have some big-time injuries. I think the only place that they could really get injured and it would just completely debilitate them as possibly on the offensive line, because I do see some experts and whatnot saying that's probably the weakest part of their offense, because there's not a huge amount of depth there, but they've recruited so well that I'm sure and their weight program has improved so much over the years. I would say that that's something that I've seen the Tigers do that has impressed me the most is, you know, several years ago, as a Gamecock fan, I would watch our videos of our guys in the weight room and our training that we were doing, and it just looked like we were bigger than Alabama. We were bigger than most of the teams in the SEC. We were bigger, and we were just strong. But then and you watch Clemson, they were doing a lot of the same old stuff. Now these last 4 or 5 years, I would say, especially, you've seen Clemson just, man, they're on the right track with basically every facet of their football program. And in the weight room and on the practice field is where the games are won. It's the preparation that you put in is what shows up on Saturday and makes you a winner. Because if you don't go out there and you don't work hard at practice, you don't work hard in the weight room, you don't eat right, and you don't, you know, you're not in shape, you're not going to be worth a crap come Saturday. Now, some of these guys don't even really, on the defensive side of the ball, which we'll get into, they don't even really, I feel like they could half-ass it sometimes and still make big plays. So on that kind of does it for the offense for me as far as what I think the keys are. Just to recap that really quick, I think the quarterback position is pretty set. I do think that the coaches would like to see Bryant become a little bit more productive in the passing game, but I don't even think that's they're really asking that much of him. So maybe that's waiting in the wings, Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be that guy that comes out there and can sling it all around the yard. Who knows? I think they'll definitely be productive enough at that position to be big-time winners. The running back position, just two freaks, two really good ball players that could play at any school in the country with Etienne and Feaster. They're studs. And guys that are backing them up that would probably start at multiple schools in the ACC and the SEC. It's just that simple. The wide receivers do need to step up, as I said. But I think with Renfrow and guys like Higgins back, that'll and bringing in these big-time recruits, I think that's going to make it easier on whoever's at quarterback. It's going to open up opportunities in the run game for the running backs. That's going to be a really good offense. Like I said, it's going to be better than last year, in my opinion. Moving over to the defensive side of the ball, you want to ask me what the key is, Taylor? What do you think the key Clemson's defense is if you just had to guess?
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah, so the whole damn D-line to me is the key to their defense because you can't do anything against them. You just can't. This is four possible first round picks. I think all of them are that good. And these are NFL players. These guys are going to play on Sunday. These aren't just picks that can be busted. These are players. They have done something the last few years. And I don't know if it's something in the water up there or what's going on. But guess what? They're recruiting at a high level at that position. They've made it a point. Hey, we're going to have big, bad defensive tackles who are athletic and strong as ox. And then we're going to get these defensive ends who are just bigger than they should be at defensive end. But then with this freakish athleticism, my God. Cleveland Farrell, who is going to start at one end position, is just an absolute freak. And he had 19 or 18 tackles for loss last year, 9.5 sacks. I mean, the crazy thing is, some people would say, well, I mean, those numbers are very good, but could they be better? Well, my God, he's playing with three other NFL players. It's like they're racing to the ball. It honestly is. I mean, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence in the middle, just monsters, just grown men who can push around just about everybody. It's almost impossible to run the football on this team, and that's got to make Tiger fans happy. I mean, that's what you want. When you have a defensive line this good, it's very easy for you to be good on defense because it's kind of like you plug and play guys everywhere else when these guys are this solid. And the other guys behind them aren't any slouches. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they just got the number one defensive lineman in the country, Xavier Thomas, is a recruit. If you think he's not going to see the field in that Furman game or against somebody early in the season, you're crazy because these guys are going to be able in certain games to take a breather, especially two out of the first three, I think, with Furman and Georgia Southern at home. I think that you're going to see these guys like Albert Huggins and Niles Pinckney, and you're going to see Chris Register get out there on the football field, who's a veteran. You're going to see a lot of these guys that have had playing time come in and make plays, and they're all good as well. So I think, like I said, that's probably the key to Clemson's defense. Like you made a good point. Keep on keeping on. That was well said because that's all you have to do. If these four guys are healthy throughout the season, this is a top five defense again. There's no doubt in my mind. And they're pretty good at linebacker. I mean, they are. So behind them, you got guys like Kendall Joseph and Trey Lamar, who are solid players, veterans, and newcomers like Isaiah Simmons. And when I say newcomers, but guys that are going to move into starting positions the first time now. And there's battles at the other linebacker position, but Joseph and Trey Lamar are going to play. They're sure tacklers, and these are guys that can get after it. And they can play a lot more free. When your D-line is this good and they can get pressure rushing four, man, when they call a blitz, you got to be salivating the mouth. You know you're going to get in there. You know you're going to get a big hit and force turnovers because you know these four guys can plug the entire offensive lineup. Look, five guys can't block these four. It's just that simple. You can't. Because you're going to have to double-team multiples of these guys. You're going to have to. You're going to have to, at any time, double-team two of them. And that makes it almost impossible for you to run any kind of sophisticated offense at all. You can't come out here and run a little JV offense against them, though, because you can't run straight at them. You can't just run read option. These guys are smart, they're athletic, and they get after it. So I think in the front seven, they're going to be absolutely strong. If there's a weakness on the defense, it's probably in the secondary. They need the secondary to step up. They do have Tanner Muse back as a starter and Trayvon Mullen at corner. Muse is that strong safety. They're two returning starters in the secondary here, so I think they'll be okay, and they've got guys who've been in the system for a while. So if you call it a weakness in the second on the defense, it's probably the secondary. Now, all that being said, I think the talent level here is as good as it is probably anywhere in the country. I mentioned they have a great weight program. That's just bottom line, and the numbers we've gone over before. I mean, this was the number four total defense in the country last year. They were fourth against the pass, 12th against the run, second in scoring nationally. That is just freakish, and they had a few too many turnovers last season, and that cost them the game at Syracuse was an anomaly. I mean, it really was. It was a weird game to watch. Syracuse played them very, very well. Bryant went down at quarterback. It was a tight game the whole way, and I do think the team kind of got a little down when he got nicked up, and Syracuse ran an offense that just sort of neutralized that Clemson defensive line where they were getting rid of the ball quickly, and they weren't really a factor as much as they normally would be. That being said, their presence on the field alone is enough to scare most teams and make them wet their pants most likely because they're just that damn good, and all Tiger fans know that. And you go and you have one of the top recruiting classes in the nation once again. And Dabo has proved to be a very, very slick recruiter, very good at what he does. And just going back now the last five seasons, Clemson's won 11 games, 10 games, 14 games 2 years in a row, and 12 games last year. They have now made the playoff 3 years in a row. They've won a national title. They've done things, it seems that they can do no wrong. You Tiger fans can get down if you lose a football game. But like I said earlier, if you lose a ball game, that's not the end of the world, especially if it happens early in the season. I mean, think about it like this. I don't think Clemson loses at Texas A&M. I do not think they lose that football game. But if you do, look at what else you have in front of you. I told a buddy of mine the other day that, you know, I think there's only like four teams on this schedule that even have the ability to be in the game with Clemson till the end, let alone beat them. So I don't think that this is going to be that tough a trek for the Tigers to get back to the playoff at all. And I think now we can just sort of move on into the 2018 football season for the Clemson Tigers. And I think we're going to go along here, Taylor, and just go through each game, what we think maybe the keys are to each game as we go. I'll probably get off on a rant here or there, get discombobulated a little bit. But opening game against Furman, what would you think they need to do there?
Nothing.
Just be Clemson. Just and I think,
Show up.
Furman, you know, look, this is a This is a 40-something point win at worst. I don't see it being any closer than that. I do not think Furman is going to score in this football game. That's my prediction there. Keys there, just show up and be Clemson. Give the home fans something opening week to be happy about. Then you go to Kyle Field the next week to take on the Aggies of A&M. I think there is a big key to this game. I've talked to a couple of Clemson buddies of mine that know the game and know the team well, and they want to see Kelly Bryant be the starter here. I know there's going to be a lot of people, like we said earlier, backup quarterbacks, the most popular guy in town a lot of times. But against A&M, I think you need to take the veteran on the road. That place is loud. It really is. It resonates on TV. It's one of those places like Death Valley or Bryant-Denny Stadium or, you know, the Big House in Michigan that really resonates on TV, and you can just hear the crowd being loud the entire time. They have yell practice, all that stuff. It's a weird place to play. I'm going to think that's going to be a primetime game. I haven't looked, and I'm sorry for that. But that's a big-time ball game for both teams, and Jimbo knows the Tigers well. I thought at first that he was running away from them, and then I sort of found out they were playing each other again anyway. So I think the key to the game there, start Kelly Bryant. I think the defense is very good up front and will be good enough to stop whatever Jimbo tries to do with A&M. I think Clemson has better talent on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I think Clemson has comparable skill players to whatever A&M's going to throw out there. So I just don't think A&M can match up in this football game. It may be close early on. I could definitely see Clemson winning this game by three scores, though. I really could. Georgia Southern, again, just beat Clemson. At Georgia Tech, the key to that, obviously, is, you know, man the defensive line. Mm-hmm. Plug the middle and stop the A-gap runs. Don't let the dive beat you. And then whenever you can contain the dive, you know, just be sound on the outside. Seal the edge, wrap up, make tackles, and play the ball or play the man, not the ball. My bad for saying that. Play the man. Play your man, play your keys, and you'll be all right against Georgia Tech. Better talent. Clemson has done well against them the last couple years, and I think that will continue. Now, Atlanta is a weird place for Tigers fans. You know, they have some bad memories there. But I do think the key to that game is obviously stop the fullback dive. Don't give them short fields. Make Georgia Tech put Georgia Tech in third and six or longer, third and seven or longer. Force them to throw the football. That's the key to beating the Yellow Jackets. Syracuse, this is a revenge game. It's in Death Valley. It's at home. I don't see this being anything like last year's game. I don't at all. I think the key to that game, though, get pressure on the quarterback. Really tighten up in the secondary last year that they were getting beat deep. Maybe playing a little too loose sometimes just getting shook because Syracuse had good wide receivers and they got a damn good quarterback, don't get me wrong. But play your assignments and play to your strengths, and I think Clemson can pull that one out with relative ease. At Wake Forest, Wake lost their quarterback who played well against Clemson in the second half last year. Clemson started off really well in that football game. Wake never really was in it. The score, if you're just score gazing, you might think otherwise. But I think that game was 21-0 at one point, and Clemson just really stalled on offense and got conservative late and made some mistakes in the second half that allowed Wake to get some points on the board and whatnot. But just a better football team. So I think, again, if you just beat Clemson and you play up front the way that you can on the defensive side of the ball, and the offensive line is very good as well, play as well as you can on the lines of scrimmage, and you're a better talented, more talented and deep team than Wake Forest. That's the key to that game. Just don't make mistakes against a team like Wake, because they're smart, fairly athletic kids that will make you pay for mistakes. That's the type of team you can't overlook, but I don't see that happening. NC State comes into Death Valley 2 weeks after that, on the 20th of October. And I think the Wolfpack will be a talented football team. I feel like this may be one of the only teams that if Clemson slips up, they could be in the mix for the Atlantic Division. I don't see that happening, though. Clemson beat them last year, and I think NC State was a better team last year than they will be this year as far as talent. I do think NC State will be a bowl team again this year, and they could contend in the Atlantic, but I just see if Clemson can just establish the run, because NC State has some athletes, just doesn't have the overall team speed and athleticism that Clemson does. So play sound football. Don't turn the football over, and I think don't make mistakes on special teams and make your kicks and all. And I think NC State is a very winnable game again. And at Florida State, I feel like Florida State is the one team in the Atlantic that has the athletic ability to match up with Clemson. Last year, that was a close game late, And, you know, Clemson just made some mistakes, let Florida State get back in the game, and then it was a dogfight for a second. Clemson pulled away late to win that game by double digits. And I just think that going down there to Tallahassee, that the key is don't lose sight. That really, I don't know. You just have to be level-headed in that game, because that's going to be, at this point in time, I definitely think Clemson will be undefeated. They're going to get every team's best shot. There's no doubt about it. Or is the biggest shot that the team can give you, because nobody they play has a better group of athletes than they do from top to bottom, and doesn't have the depth, I think, that they have. So I think Florida State is a big game, no doubt about it. I think every Tiger fan knows that. Every Seminole fan knows that. So the key to that game, I would think, is win the turnover battle, and I think you take care of business in Tallahassee. So against Louisville, I think the key to that would just be don't get lazy, because I think Louisville's lost some talent, but Petrino's a smart coach. Don't get lazy. Don't play down, because kind of like Syracuse did last year, with a bunch of unknown players and guys that nobody around the country really knew about. Petrino is a very, very good coach on the offensive side of the ball, and he can scheme against the defense. He's had problems against Clemson's defense the last couple of years, and he had Lamar Jackson to boot, and which he will not have this year. But I think the key to that game is just, you know, respect your opponent enough, because at that point in time, I think when we ran down Louisville on the thing, we had them possibly having like four or five losses at this point. So I think just don't overlook them, and you should be able to take care of business. At BC, this is a tough one. Don't let the possible bad weather at this point in the year in November get to you. Don't get lazy, because this could be one of those games. The ACC loves nooners, and a lot of you Clemson fans know that. These noon kickoffs and 3 o'clock kickoffs are bad sometimes for fans. I think it's fun if you want to watch the rest of the college football play, the national landscape. But, you know, when you go up somewhere like Boston College, you can get bored to death with them just pounding the football. I do think they'll be an improved football team this season. They got a badass running back. There's no doubt about that. But I think the key to that game is win the line of scrimmage. Again, win the turnover battle. And I'm repeating myself over and over, but Clemson is such a sound and really great football team that's all they have to do week to week. If they win the turnover battle and don't make big mistakes or mistakes at big points in the ball game, they should win almost all their football games. It's just that simple. Duke the next week, there you go. Just don't overlook them before the game against South Carolina. And Clemson's had South Carolina number now for 4 years. They're looking for the thumb. The Gamecocks got it on the Tigers several years ago, and I think they rubbed it in the Tigers' face enough to where Tiger fans definitely want that. They haven't had five in a row in quite some time. I can't really recall when it would have happened. I would think it would be back in the 50s. I could be wrong. But they definitely want the fifth in the row against the Gamecocks, and I don't see any reason why they're not going to get it. All things holding out for the whole season. If both teams were completely healthy and played week one, who would you pick to win that game? I mean, I think I know who you're going to pick, but
yeah. Do you?
Huh?
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, you think the Gamecocks would beat them if they played them? Get out of here. I'm just saying, so we can't – right now all of this is just babbling, because we really don't know what's going to happen by the end of the year, but I think you'd be foolish to pick South Carolina versus Clemson at any point in the year, and I think that game being in Death Valley – it could be a big-time game. It could be this year. It could be bigger than it has been in years past, and that's been because of the Gamecocks' decline. And I think, you know, it's still a good rivalry. It's still it's tough for a Gamecock fan to have to admit all of these good things and good qualities about the Clemson Tigers, but it's just the truth, man. And I like to tell the truth, and I like to be honest about college football. There's no reason to sugarcoat things, and a wise man once told me things are – not always as good as they seem, and they're not always as bad as they seem. It is what it is. So I think that being said, the key to that game would just be, you know, hey, just keep being better than the Gamecocks, because that's what you've been the last 4 years, and you've got it done. And I don't think things have changed this year. Two massive wins the past 2 years, just 56-7 and 34-10, just two blowouts, beatdowns. I don't know if things will be any different than that this year or not. I guess it depends on the Gamecocks' offense and if the Gamecocks can improve defensively, because I think Clemson has been just too strong offensively. Even without that great defensive line, they would have won this game by big numbers. So that all being said, I think Clemson is definitely looking at a playoff. Like I mentioned when we previewed them earlier on a previous podcast, that most people around the nation have them losing a game, but they don't really say who it's going to be. They just kind of think, okay, they were going to drop one somewhere just because it doesn't really make sense to pick somebody to run the table. I'm going to say they run the table because I just don't think anybody can match up with them athletically for 60 minutes. I just don't think it can happen. So that's kind of where I want to leave things today. Next week, we're going to have the preview for the Furman game. And I don't know how long that's going to really be, but I'm going to dig up as much information on Furman as I can and not try to repeat myself too much about the Tigers and really try to talk about the game more than I am these stats and numbers from the last couple years and what I think is going to happen going forward. So to wrap up, that's where we're going. And then each week after that, we'll be talking about the previous game. So the week following the Furman game, we'll recap the Furman game and then preview A&M. And that's how we're going to go going forward. So I thank you guys for listening to Talking Tigers. It's been pretty fun doing this stuff. I'm having a ball doing it, and I look forward to doing it in the future. And this has been a Win or Die Sports production from your host, Wesley Burris, and my co-host, Taylor Griggs. He'll be a little bit more talkative on future episodes, I'm sure, because we'll be watching these games and have a little bit more information for you. I'm just digging up this stuff out of magazines and online and all this, just throwing numbers and stats at you. So thanks for listening, and we look forward to bringing you a new episode next Monday night.
And now, it's the song that shakes the Southland, Tiger!